The Knoxville Opera is performing Jacques Offenbach's opera, The Tales of Hoffmann, October 25th at 8 p.m. and the 27th at 2:30. Performances will be given at the Tennessee Theater with an opera preview hosted by Maestro Seleski 45 minutes prior to each performance. A few days ago, stage director Keturah Stigan and soprano Talise Trevin spoke with me about this thrilling production. Let's start with the basics. Keturah, what is this opera about?
That's actually a little bit of a hard question. This opera is a fantasy that I think ultimately is about the lasting power of art over anything that's more human or earthly based. And in the basic story, it's about a man named Hoffmann who has been very unlucky in love and has been thwarted in all of his conquests by an incarnation of the devil at every turn, and finally realizes at the end that the only one who is always there for him is his muse.
And his muse is specifically...
His muse is an incarnation. It's a person who follows him around as his best friend.
Mm-hmm. And Hoffmann is actually a real person,
Hoffmann,
right?
Is based on a real character. Mm-hmm. Yeah, E.T.A. Hoffmann was actually he was sort of the German Edgar Allan Poe of his time. Several hundred years ago in Germany, he was writing a lot of horror tales. And he was actually a lawyer, I believe, up until he started writing stories. But many of his stories we recognize. He wrote The Nutcracker, which is, of course, what the famous ballet is based on.
There are kind of four separate stories in this opera, right?
There are three separate stories in this opera. Then it's bookended by an epilogue and prologue that sort of puts us into the action. We start with Hoffmann in a tavern, and he's telling these stories to the people that are there. But there are three separate fantasy stories. One takes place in Paris about a woman named Olympia, who is actually a mechanical doll with which Hoffmann falls in love. There is a story that takes place in Munich that is about a girl, Antonia, who has an affliction which causes her to get very, very ill and possibly die whenever she sings. And then the final story is in Venice, and it's about a courtesan named Giulietta, who is an agent of the devil and has been instructed to steal Hoffmann's soul.
So what are the challenges in staging or producing this opera?
I think they come on several levels. One, this opera has a history of never being performed the same anywhere. It was incomplete at Offenbach's death, and so over the years has been shifted around and changed, and whole acts have been removed from it and put into different places, and there's a lot of music involved in this opera that was not written by Offenbach. So every time someone goes to see Tales of Hoffmann, they're going to see a different show. And I think part of the challenge as a director of coming into it is that what you walk in the door doing is not necessarily something that you've ever seen or done before. And so we always have something new or something different that we're trying to create or shift around in order to create the story the way that this company is presenting it. I think the other challenge is that the challenge that for me is delicious is the fact that this show is a fantasy. We can go a lot of different directions with the storytelling here, and I love walking in the door with that.
It seems like you have more creative freedom, perhaps?
A little bit. Yeah, absolutely, a little bit. I just directed a Rigoletto, and you go with a Rigoletto, it's something like that. It has a very specific performance tradition, and also, for me, a very specific time period and a very specific way that the story needs to be told. I feel like with Hoffmann, I have a little bit more open space to walk around in.
So which edition are you using for this?
We're doing an edition that is Brian Seleski created. He did a lot of research when we were first talking about doing this opera, and he went back to the original Opera Comique and looked at the idea that they used a dialogue. He took a trio that is usually in one act, and he moved it into another act, which was done at one particular performance. So I think he did a lot of research into a lot of old performance practices and is bringing back some things that we don't see in United States performances of Tales of Hoffmann very often.
So this version will be unique to Knoxville.
It is unique to Knoxville, yes.
This opera will be performed near Halloween. Was that an intentional choice? Are there any macabre elements?
Well, I don't know if it was an intentional choice by the opera, but I will say that it is the perfect marriage of a piece of opera and this holiday. This is an incredibly macabre piece. It's got elements of horror. It's got the devil four times, you know? He comes back in all different incarnations, and I think the stories just get more and more terrible as we go. It's a haunted house that you don't actually walk through. You just get to sit in the audience and enjoy it as it goes.
Talise, have you sung this role, or perhaps I should say these roles, before?
Never. In fact, it took Brian Selesky and Keturah Stickan and my management to convince me. And then because I have an A-type personality and I love a good challenge, I took it on. And most people look at me as though I'm crazy. And there are some days when I think that I might be. But it's been a lot of fun so far, and I'm looking forward to it. I like the variances between all the different girls and pushing myself. So that's always the goal. Keep pushing.
Is it typical for one person to sing all four of these roles?
No, it is not typical at all. In fact, most ladies will come in for one. They really are vocally almost three or four different women, depending on how you look at it and how it's set up. The doll being, you know, completely fantasy and mechanical, which also, you know, I'm a singing actress, so that also changes the way technically you would sing. The other characters are filled with more passion, but in very different ways. So that affects the way one sings and the color and everything else. But again, I like a good challenge, so.
How did you prepare vocally for such a demanding role, and perhaps dramatically as well?
Well, dramatically, there's some forethought, but one of the great things about working with Keturah is that I can play with that in rehearsal. And you can come in with some idea of what you think a character might be, but really one of the things I look forward to is exploring that in rehearsals and bringing out different ideas, things that I might not have even considered before. And they're all so different. And that's the nice thing about having rehearsal and a director that pushes you and challenges you and asks you to think of things that you might not have thought of before. So a lot of preparation prior to coming into rehearsals is obviously, you know, vocal, and you work out how to sing things. And then a lot of that is scrapped once you get into rehearsal because it's nothing that you thought it would be. And you have to adjust. And that's actually the fun part about my job, you know, just, you know, you come in as sort of a blank canvas and you pick up whatever other colors are around you and things that affect. You know, I have to work with my colleagues and they affect me. And that determines a lot of who my characters become over the span of rehearsal.
Can I ask, when did you start preparing this role? Like, I just imagine it would take a long time to learn all of this music and really commit it to memory.
Yes, it does. I probably started working in the spring on it. One of the challenges about being a opera singer is that you're working on many roles at a time. So I'd pick up a bit and I put it away, let it sort of sit, and then I'd come back to it again. So it takes a span of, you know, a good
four to six months,
yeah. You know, really. Singing all four of them is not something you just pick up and just learn and sing them. I mean, you have to sort of let them sit with you and decide, oh, well, maybe I should sing it this way, or maybe this color should settle in here. And then again, once you get into rehearsals, it's all a blank canvas again. And it's determined by, you know, what you feed off of your other colleagues and things like that.
Because each of your characters is only on stage for one act, with the exception of Stella, I suppose, are your characters fairly developed or are they rather simple?
Oh, I think they're all incredibly complex in different ways. In fact, I think the only thread that the ladies might have is that in some ways they're all controlled by someone else, but in different ways. You know, the mannequin, she's a doll. She's controlled. She does what she's instructed to do, and that's that. Antonia is held captive by her father asking her not to sing. Her constant search of living up to this figment of her imagination because she's not known her mother, trying to live up to that. So she's held by that, you know, and desperately wanting to break free of that. And then Giulietta, I mean, she's her own woman, but she's not. She's got everything and she has nothing at the same time. She's a courtesan. And on the outside, that presents a certain amount of liberty and freedom. But she's also control. She's an agent of the devil. She's not really her own woman. But they're all incredibly complex women.
Changing topics just a little bit, I read that you've been busy recording some new music within the past year or so. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I have. Yes, on October 21st, another album releases with Jake Hagee, who is very near and dear to me. It's actually very nice when you can call a colleague family. Part of the little family is, I would say, you know, Jake Hagee. It's how Keturah and I met. Jake and I recorded my first album together with him at the piano, and that's at the Statue of Venus, which also Couture directed the premiere of the CD launch that we had. And then this past September, we had the glorious, fortunate experience of recording at Skywalker Ranch. It's all Hagee music, and the librettist is Gene Shear. And Jake is just one of those composers that one hopes, that an artist hopes to come across in their lifetime, someone that just speaks to them. And we realized very early on that we sort of feed each other and we get one another. And he just writes the most glorious, poignant, important, relevant music. And I am always just so delighted to sing any of his work. And it's absolutely beautiful album. It's called Hereafter. I sing pieces of 9/11 along with Nathan Gunn and some other great artists, as well as another song cycle. But yeah, that was a fantastic experience. It was actually life-changing. So making the recording, just having a composer that writes for you and just, it just speaks to you. It's a huge honor and a luxury, and very proud of our work together.
How did you meet?
It was sort of fate that we were sort of destined to meet, because I had actually written to him about a commission at least a year and a half before we ever really started on our Moby Dick adventure. And then we were just, you know, had exchanged emails, and he's a little busy writing for Flicka and Joyce DiDonato and other people. But then I happened to be in Dallas, and they asked me to sing for the role of Pip in Moby Dick. And I flew back home to New York and sang for the creative team. And he was in that audition on phone. So we talked a little bit over the phone in that audition. And then I was singing in California, and I had just gotten the job of Pip, and the opera wasn't yet written, but he came to hear me sing. And we became fast and furious friends ever since. And he's been a huge mentor and friend and support and family ever since.
Talise and Kentura, it was wonderful speaking with you both. Thank you for coming in to talk with me. Again, I've been talking with stage director Keturah Stickan and soprano Talise Trevin about the Knoxville Opera's upcoming production of Jacques Offenbach's opera, The Tales of Hoffmann, which will be performed at the Tennessee Theater October 25th at 8 p.m. and October 27th at 2:30. More information at 524-0795 or at knoxvilleopera.com.